I don't know where you are today. I don't know your struggle, your heartache, your pain. I know this, though. My God is still in control.
Welcome to This Day in the Word with Pastor John Couch, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. It is a joy to have you listening today, and we pray that you will be encouraged, challenged, and motivated to live for God like never before. And now, with today's message, here's Pastor John Couch.
Hey, this is John Couch with This Day Ministries. Thanks so much for tuning in to This Day in the Word. Don't forget that all of these broadcasts are archived and are free to download at thisdayministries.org. That's thisdayministries.org. Let's take our Bibles together right now, and let's turn to Psalm chapter 91, looking at verse 1, as we listen to the first part of the message entitled, Where Am I Dwelling?
Take your Bible. Let's go to the Old Testament book of Psalms. We're going to turn to a psalm today, Psalm 91. Looking at Psalm 91, I pray you have your copy of God's Word with you. You know, and I've been here before, that there are two things that we're very passionate about. One is God's Word in itself, because we believe God's Word can change our hearts. Amen? We believe it's God's Word that does the work. That, I don't know about you, but have you ever been in God's Word on maybe a morning or an evening, and it just comes alive, it comes off the page, and God has a special word just for you in His Word? That's what God's Word does. It's powerful, it's mighty. It goes down even to the deepest part of the marrow that His Word tells us. But secondly, we're passionate about writing things down, because we believe and we know that we only remember just a small fraction of what we hear. And if we're not writing it down and being a student of God's Word, how will we ever truly be a student of Jesus? I mean, that's what a disciple is, isn't it? A disciple is a student of someone. If you say, I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ, you are saying, I'm a follower, I'm a student of Jesus Himself. How will we ever be students of Jesus Himself if we are not truly sitting at His feet, listening to His Word, saturating our minds and our hearts daily, meditating day and night with the glories of His Scripture? And therefore, we want to write it down so that we can go back and feast upon just not the Word, but feast upon what He said to you individually through His Word. And so, Psalm 91 this morning, and the title I want you to write down is simply this: Where am I dwelling? Write that down. Where am I dwelling? This is mission critical for your life. You're going to need to be able to answer the question emphatically, where am I dwelling? Because the place where you're dwelling today is going to be a great glimpse into the future of where you are going to dwell tomorrow. Where you're dwelling today, where you're investing your time, where you're investing your resources, where you're investing your talents, where are you dwelling today? Because where you're dwelling today will be a great indicator of where you will dwell in the future tomorrow. Psalm 91, verse 1. It's one of my favorite verses in all of Scripture. I absolutely love this verse. This verse gives us great hope. This verse gives us a future. This verse shows us that there is protection and serenity and security in the arms of the great God of the Bible. And here's what it says in verse 1, and we'll read verse 1 and just verse 2 this morning, but focus just on verse 1. Psalm 91, verse 1, He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Verse 2, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust. Wow, is that not good? That fires me up reading that verse. You know why that fires me up? Because here's the deal. Everyone on this planet who has lived, is living, or will live, at some point in time is going to look for something to dull the pain and fill the void of life. The challenge with our life today is so many people find a someone other than Jesus or a something obviously other than Jesus to try to fill that void. Boy, if I just marry the right person, then maybe they might be Jesus with skin on. Well, that doesn't work that way. That's a bunch of expectations that do not get met, and there's great heartache and pain down that road. You may say, well, you know, if I just bought this house, or if I had this job, or I had that corner office that overlooks Tampa Bay, or if I just had enough money in the bank, it's what I call to start playing the if I just game. Ever played the if I just game? It's a game that doesn't end up very well. But if I just had this, if I just had that, if I just, and God's not worried about if you just, He wants you to just trust Him. That's why I love this text today, because it's a mission critical question. Where am I dwelling? The reality today, everyone in this room and myself at the top of the list, we know where we're dwelling. We know. We can fool other people. I can fool you. When you look in that mirror at the end of the day, you can fool everyone else, but you can't fool who's in that mirror. So the question today is simply, where am I? Where are you dwelling? Look at this verse here in Psalm 91:1. It says, He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall do what? Shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I love the Psalms. We know this, that many people think David wrote all the Psalms. That's not true. He did write a majority of the Psalms, but there are a few other writers that are mixed in there. This is one of those that you can look at the most scholarly theologians, and there is no definitive answer on who wrote Psalm 91. There are many that believe it was Moses. If you look in Psalm 90, which is preceding 91, we see that Moses wrote that one. And you see the language and the verbiage that he's going to use in this text today. And many think it was him. However, you can read some of even David's Psalms and you can see, well, I can see some very similar grammatical usage, if you will, that may be David. But here's the deal. At the end of the day, it doesn't matter what human vessel was used to write God's word. What matters is that it came from God's. And when God says here, here's the deal, for he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High, what shall happen? He shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I don't know where you are today. I don't know your struggle, your heartache, your pain. I know this though, my God is still in control. And so what should that do for us today? What that should do for you and I today is that should recalibrate us very quickly, very urgently, and very intentionally to make sure we are dwelling in the right place. See, God has a sovereign will, but He also has what we call a permissible will. And He sovereignly allows things to happen, but He also permits that we drive off spiritual cliffs through sin if we're willing to do that. That's why it's so critical that we dwell where He is. We can go to church, we can go to Sunday school, we can be at Wednesday night service, we can go to potlucks and covered dishes and youth group and all the good things that go on in church world. I've been around it for years. I love it. I applaud it. But at the end of the day, none of us can stand face to face on that day and plead those things to God. The only thing we can plead is that we dwelled in Him through His Son, Jesus Christ. That's the only thing we can plead. So you wonder, well, what is the point of this great song? Well, let's look at it together. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High. Let's look at that first phrase for just a moment together. He who dwells, it's literally, it's the Hebrew word yashav. And here's what it means. It literally means, when you break it apart, to remain, to stay, to inhabit. I think some people wonder, why is it when we open God's Word that we dive into the original language? Well, it's very simple. Because we want to make sure we're understanding hermeneutically exactly what was intended from the writer through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He's saying here, for he who yashav, he who dwells, he who what remains, stays, inhabits. This dwelling shows an intense, urgent intimacy. There's a steadfastness. There's a determination to not be moved. I don't know about your life, but I know about my life that in the deep seasons of pain, of heartache, of disappointment. Boy, if I'm not careful, my dwelling place can move from where it once was in God. It's those moments of darkness. It's those moments of despair. It's those moments where you wake up in the morning saying, you know what? I'm not really sure I like my life. It's in those moments that the evil one is speaking. It's in those moments that the enemy is coming full throttle with all his fiery darts. And he's trying to beat you down and he's trying to beat me down. And that's when we have to go right back to God's Word. It's in those very moments that we must run to God's Word like never before. Literally drop everything you're doing and run to God's words. You got to remember, Satan, the devil, the diabolical one, Diabolos, he has one trick. It started back in the garden, and he's kept it on mankind since then. And it's how much can he distort the truth? If he can just get you and I thinking that our mission is over in life, then he knows we're no longer a threat to him. But the more we press into God, we are a threat to him. And I wish I could just tell this to so many young guys that are going into ministry, that if you are really going to be adamant about proclaiming the Word of God, to be fearless, without compromise, oh, you have a bullseye on your back. You got a target on your back. And not only you have a target on your back, but your family has a target on their backs as well. And if you're not prepared for what's about to happen, you will be one of the 1,500 pastors that exits the ministry every month, never to return. We have the answers. God already told us this is not going to be easy. He warned us all throughout Scripture. Matter of fact, when you scour this great book from cover to cover and you see the people, yes, the men, but also some women in there that God used in a mighty way for His praise and His glory, the common thread through all of those people is they went through some element of trial, some element of needing to trust God, some element of faith, some element of pain. All of those people dealt with those things, and yes, some reaped a reward in this life, but certainly by faith in God, they reaped a reward in the next. That's why our gaze has to be eternal, not temporal. Colossians 3:2 says, set your mind on what? Things above, not on things on this earth. It's so easy to be distracted by the things of this earth. No, Colossians 3:2 says, no, set your gaze, set your affection on God's. And as that song we sing, as we turn our eyes upon Jesus, and the things of this earth will do what? We'll grow strangely dim in the light of what? His glory and His grace. They don't grow dim in light of your circumstances improving on this life. No, they grow dim in the light of His glory and His grace. Where are we dwelling today? Where are we remaining? Where are we inhabiting? Where have we parked our RV, so to speak? And this RV is not a mobile RV. It's one that will not be moved. Where are you dwelling today?
You're listening to This Day in the Word, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. All of Pastor Couch's messages are archived and are free to download at thisdayministries.org. In addition, you can share your prayer requests with us via email. Our email address for prayer requests is prayer@thisdayministries.org. That's prayer@thisdayministries.org. And now, back to This Day in the Word with Pastor John Couch.
I love these supporting verses. I'm going to give you two of them. Write these down. You're going to need them this week. 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58, another favorite verse, but just incredible as Paul writes. He says this, "Therefore, my beloved brethren," in verse 58, "be steadfast, be immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, comma, knowing," there's a confidence there, "knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord," period. I love that verse. Good stuff, isn't it? Man, you throw the word of God back to the enemy when he starts lying to you. The enemy will say, you know what, your ministry's small, you know, you're not doing much, you're not impacting people. You just throw that verse back in his face. Just throw it back and hit him with the word of God. My God says this, to be steadfast. That means to not be moved, to be immovable, to even go further, to be anchored in such a way that it's impossible to move. Oh, be steadfast, be immovable. What? Always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing confidently that no matter who comes against you, your work for the Lord is never in vain. Period. That's good stuff, isn't it? But all those things you're doing for the Lord here at this church, you're trying to minister to the community, it can seem like it's all for naught. I get it. I understand it. There's times I'm traveling and preaching and you wonder, am I making any difference at all? The reality is this. It's not about what we can do. It's about how God uses you and me as a willing vessel, holy and acceptable to Him, that as He works through us, that He will produce the results that He wants. That's pretty freeing, actually, isn't it? I mean, it's freeing. We don't have to sit there and go, you know, I'm working hard and I'm obeying God and it's just not happening. Here's the deal. Obey God and let Him handle the results. That's freeing. There's no pressure there. There's joy in the midst of the work for the Lord. Second verse that I want to give you to support that dwelling concept. 1 Corinthians again, just a few verses over, chapter 16, verse 13 this time. 1 Corinthians 16, 13. Here's what it says there. Paul writes to the church of Corinth, "Watch, comma, stand fast in the faith, comma, be brave, comma, be strong," period. Isn't that good? Watch, be alert. Then when you're dwelling in the secret place of the Most High, you got to be on your guard. Why? Because we know from 1 Peter 5:8, what does it say? The devil, the adversary, he prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He is not your friend. He's not going to walk in your house through the front door and just say, "Hey, I'm here." No, he's coming through every side door and every side window imaginable. And you don't even know it that he's gotten in. We got to watch. We got to be alert. We got to know our own weaknesses. My weakness and my flesh and your weakness may not be the same thing, because we got to know our own weaknesses, because I can assure you this, if we don't know our own weaknesses, the evil one will find out what they are. And he will exploit them in such a way that he will lead us off a cliff one side or the other. By the way, he doesn't care which side of the cliff you go off of, just as long as you go off the cliff. And he will send you off all in the name of Jesus over the side, prayerfully, and you're taking a whole bunch of people with you. You got to watch. You got to stand fast in the faith. You got to be brave. You got to have courage. You got to be strong. How can you do that in your own flesh? It's impossible. It all goes back to, where are we dwelling today? The only way I can carry out those things and those verses is if I'm dwelling in the presence of God each and every day. But the question is begged to ask, where are we to dwell? Well, let's look at the scripture. It tells us, here it is, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High." I love this secret place. It's the Hebrew word, it's seder, and it means this. Make a note of this. It means covering, but it even means this, and I love this. It means hiding place, a hiding place. God today, in the midst of your pain, God today, in the midst of your uncertainty, even though nothing's uncertain with a certain God, but from a fleshly viewpoint, we don't know what's on the horizon, we don't know what's coming our way, but we know this, that when we're dwelling in the secret place, when we're dwelling where God is, He is not only our covering, He is our hiding place. And God will bring you to a hiding place in your life in the midst of your pain. That as people come against you, He will hide you. He will cover you. He will protect you. He will give you a hope, an identity, and a security that nothing in this life will ever bring you. You could go fill up every armored car truck with all the money in the world. No matter how much money you have, you can never outrun pain. You can't do it. Oh, you can alleviate some pain for a moment, but you can never alleviate it fully. The only thing that will alleviate your pain fully is to dwell in the secret place of the Most High. I was thinking through that concept, and I couldn't help but think of another psalm. Psalm 63, write this down. Psalm 63. Verses 1 through 5. Listen to what David says. This is a psalm of David that we know when he was in the wilderness of Judah. Listen to what he cries out. Oh God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. So I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory. Because your loving kindness, your steadfastness is better than life, my lips shall praise your name. Thus I will bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise you with my joyful lips. There's that old hymn that we used to sing called A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. You know, I love that song. I love the theology behind that hymn because it shows us and gives a picture that God is just not a mighty fortress. He is the mighty fortress. The mighty fortress is the great God of the Bible. And anything and anyone else that you're trying to find your hope in, anything or anyone else you're trying to find your satisfaction in, anything or anyone else that you're trying to find peace and security and identity in, all those things will fail, but God will not fail. He tells us that even though the grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of my God will stand forever. Amen. Praise God, amen? That gives us hope, doesn't it? Because we're living in pretty hopeless days. I don't know if you looked out the window lately, but we are living in hopeless days. There's so much division. There's just so much sin going on rampant. And yet that hopelessness that I talk of is from a fleshly lens. Because Jesus Christ can make all things new. He who dwells, he who inhabits, he who is steadfast and anchored in the secret place. Make a note of this, that this dwelling in this secret place shows great intimacy. Write that down. Write down the word intimacy. I know many times we think of that in a marital context, but we've got to understand this, that intimacy is just not physical. And that's what God is talking about here, that as we're dwelling with Him, there's an intimacy, there's a transparency, there is a pressing into, there's a knowing, there is just something that is desiring to be longing to be in God's presence as we dwell in His sanctuary, that we would know Him in such a way like never before, that He would become more real in our life, and we would therefore go make Him known. It's this secret place, this covering, this hiding place. And you know what I've learned about what God does in our lives? You know, so many times people have this bizarre notion, and I think a lot of it's due to the health, wealth, and prosperity preachers on TV, that they espouse this message that if you just come to Jesus, that somehow your life is going to be gloriously grand all of a sudden overnight. Here's a problem with that theology. Number one, it's heretical. Go back through your scripture and start scouring the scriptures from cover to cover and pick out one character after another that God used in a mighty way. And at some point through that journey, you're going to see a thread in that where you see where God used that person in a mighty way, but he first had to bruise them before he could use them. You think of Moses. You think of Abraham. You think of Isaac. You think of Jacob. You think there of David, of course, and you go on and on through the prophets and you see what brutal lives they lived, and that God would send these prophets to these people, these rebellious children of Israel. He would send them to them over and over and over. And God's like, here's the deal. You go speak to them, but they don't want to listen to me. Go speak to them anyway, but they want to kill me. Go speak to them anyway. Can you imagine that being your assignment? Great pain, great suffering. You fast forward to the New Testament, you see the disciples. You see ordinary guys. They weren't getting it when they're in the presence of Jesus, but the light went on. And Jesus left, and there we know in Acts 17:6, they even said when they came to the house of Jason, are these the ones that have turned the world upside down? They got it. With the exception of Judas, who finished poorly. John on the island of Patmos. You study the rest, how they died, and it was brutal. Being impaled, literally being filleted to death. That these guys suffered a high price for the cause of the gospel going forth. As they pioneered the Christian faith going forth, it's always the pioneers that suffer it most. Anyone can come behind. Why? Because the trail has already been blazed. It's those that are willing to say, you know what? I'm looking through the forest. I know God's sending me here. I don't know how this is going to happen, but I know this. I'm going to dwell in the secret place of the Most High. And there's going to be a secret place. It's going to be a hiding place. It's going to be a place of protection. It's not going to be easy. It's going to wreak havoc on my life. It's probably going to wreak havoc on my family's life. But I know this. When God calls, we obey.
You've been listening to This Day in the Word, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. Don't forget that all of these messages are archived and are free to download at thisdayministries.org. That's thisdayministries.org. In addition, if you have been blessed by the teaching of God's Word during This Day in the Word, we would love to hear from you. Our email address is info@thisdayministries.org. Thanks again for listening as we strive to honor Christ and impact our world as we spend this day in the Word.